You're joining us live. We're glad that you're with us today and looking forward to all that God has for us. We've had a busy weekend with the Life Issues homecoming, and in a couple of weeks we'll have our Bible conference. And I'm very excited this morning to be able to introduce you, some of you, to someone you've never met before, and some of us it's an old friend, and that is Pastor Mike Blake. I know your name, Mike Blake, and I hope he's not Bake. Okay, so Mike Blake and Becky Blake from Maple City Baptist Church in Monmouth, Illinois. And if you guys could just stand for a minute, I wanted to see Becky as well. I know it's kind of Mike's job to introduce his wife, but this is a great couple. Amen. Mike and Becky are dear friends of ours, and of course we've prayed over Josie and their daughter Bethany over the years, and just their ministry up there. And we'll be taking a trip there very soon, so we'll talk more about that. Look in your announcements. Ray Blowers is leading a trip up there on the 8th. There'll be a meeting for that. But without getting in the way of all that, I just want to encourage you to pay close attention to what God's going to do here in the next few minutes, because He's going to speak to us through this vessel. Mike's a faithful man of God, and God's been working in and through him for decades now. And he's also just a good friend of mine, probably my best friend in the ministry. So he's just a good brother, and we love each other. Been through a lot of thick and thin, and it's really good just to have friends, regardless of whether in the ministry or not. And so I'm glad that you're here with us this morning, and you're in an environment where we can love you and you can love us, because God loved us first, you know, and that's what the church is all about. And so we also want to hear from God and His Word. And I know Mike's going to bring it. So give Mike a good welcome as he comes to HBF and preaches the Word this morning.
Man, I ain't used to this. Like normally at the Vision Conference, like there's a lot going on. You know, there's a speaker and a missionary and somebody else. And I looked over at my wife and I said, I think I'm getting ready to preach, you know. Hey, I want to thank the Lord for all He's done, all He's going to do, and I'm thankful. We just did church camp together. Our group got with your group, so I'm glad that I could see you again, and I hope that's continuing. You know, camp's always a time where you make big decisions, and you know, and 2 days later they're gone. You know, and then I want to thank Steve Fleshman for inviting me. Thanks, Steve, to saying, hey, we're doing a homecoming banquet fundraiser for Life Issues, and I got issues, man. I'm not gonna lie, and I was thankful. It was an honor to, man, to sit. Me and my wife, we left, and we were like, man, the testimonies, the changed lives. It was unbelievable, man. Like, it was very moving, and it's good because you know you got to teach classes and like. You know, we got a Bible Institute, and so you're teaching, you know, the great dispensations of God's Word. And it was so good the other night because we sat back and it was just like, the gospel still works, man. The simple gospel message still changes people's lives. And that's what was so good about it. I was like, and my wife's like, we need to do this in our church. We used to have a recovery ministry, and then I recovered, so they stopped it, you know. No, I'm not lying, Steve. God, you know, we started going into the county jail some years ago, and back when they shut you guys down, we started ours up, and Steve gave me a lot of advice and counseling, and I want you to know God used Life Issues Friday night for me to go back home, and we're doing it. I'm by faith, we're going to just do it, you know. We've done it in the past. And so, anyways, thanks. And Steve, you know what it is too, guys? Listen, it ain't no joke. You've been doing it since what, 2011? Man, I do the math. A lot of years have went by. You know, things like that don't happen quickly, you know? Ministry's tough, man. It's hard. You know how it is. You birth the kid and you're like, this is the sweetest thing ever. You know, 18 years later, you're like, my gosh, this is hard. When's it gonna end, you know? Like, man, it takes time, you know? It takes time because you know what we're doing here. It's not like we're raising squash up. God's raising oak trees, man. Something that's going to last through time and through generations and produce fruit. We make disciples as a church. That's what makes this church so different. You're disciple makers. That's what our church does. Hey, there's churches this morning. They're going to teach the Bible. They're going to preach the gospel. Hey, praise the Lord for that. I'm all down with that, you know. And there's churches that are not going to do that. And I like them too because they make us look better. Because they're not doing anything. But we really want to reproduce. We really want people to get it. So anyways, I'm thankful. It's been nothing but a blessing to hear and to be and to hug and to see. And somebody told me when I walked in the door this morning, they said, "Man, you're a long way from home, ain't you?" And I'm like, "Nope, not at all. I walked into home today." So I'm thankful. They asked me this week if I had a title for my message, and I said no. And, cause I don't, you know, I just usually don't have titles for my message. I got one now. And, they asked me this morning too. They're like, somebody asked me, "Hey, do you got anything for us in the sound booth?" I said, "Like what?" You know. Like, you got notes or like to put verses up there, you know, you got PowerPoint or that type of thing. That would be a negative. No. And by the way, I do got notes. Yeah, I showed my wife, I said, you know, it's embarrassing handing people something like that, you know? And normally it's got colors on it, but I didn't bring my markers. Normally I'm like coloring all together. But also, I want you to know, years ago, the football coach asked me to do a thing, and I stood up and he goes, "Hey, I need you to come. There'll be about 110 players. I need you to do this." And these college football guys, I said, "Man, I'll put together a great PowerPoint and everything." And you know what he told me? And I'm not dissing on this church because we do this too. But he said, "No, don't worry about putting a PowerPoint together. Only professors that can't communicate use PowerPoint." I thought that, hey, we do it too though. Especially the guy, you know, Bo. Bo does it more than I do it. But that's okay. So, but we're different. That's what makes it good. So, and, you know, another thing I just want to say is, my wife don't get to come with me very often. So I don't like driving. I don't like driving by myself. And, sometimes that's a dark place to be. You know, I tell my daughter sometimes, you know, all the struggle she's had. And, sometimes she'll come to me and I'll ask her a question. I said, "Josie, you need to sit in the darkness longer. You're not giving me good enough answers. You got to seek the Lord in that darkness, man, and He's going to speak to you. You got to seek Him out, you know." And so sometimes I think that's the way it is with me. I have a fear of being alone, and when I get in a car all by myself, you know, and the cop's like, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" And I always say, like, "Yeah, so I could have somebody to talk to. This was a terrible journey, you know." But it was nice that Becky got to come with me because I thoroughly enjoyed my time with her. You know, both my girls, Josie went away to college. But you're clapping for her or me? But both my girls left the house. One got a house and she moved out. And by the grace of God, finally, you know, she's older and got a career. We got her into a house. And then my younger girl, Josie, you know, the one that we prayed for, and, you know, she's... She went away to college. Now she's back home. She can't go out anymore. She's wheelchair bound. She's had some surgeries and she'll do college from home now. But we had a small season where we were like empty nesters. We'd never experienced that before. And let me tell you the blessing behind it. Oh, there's curses. Cause I love my daughters and I have relationships with them. And, I cried, man. Becky goes to bed earlier than me normally. She goes off to bed, and I'd walk down the hallway and open doors. I look in there, they're not in there. I'm like, my gosh, this is hard. I've had them here for all these years, and I hate it. But I'll tell you what happened. As time went on, the tears became less, and I was able to tell Becky, like, we had a good run at it. I said, "Man, Becky, I'm so glad that we're friends. I'm glad that you like me. And I'm glad that I like you. We had a great..." Now, Josie's back home, and I feel bad now. I'm just like, we can't wait till you leave. My marriage is falling to pieces. The girl said, "Hey, Dad, now that we're not home, I bet Mom's nagging you." I said, "Not at all." And we discovered something. They have been all of our fights through the years. It's them girls. So they'll be out soon, you know. You ready for a title for a message? I don't have one. No. If I would title this, I would say, I want to talk to you this morning about the bigness of small. The bigness of small. And let me tell you where this is coming from. The main passage we're going to look at, I do want to talk about the mustard seed today. But basically, We've been reading, as a church we read together, we've been reading in Deuteronomy. I've been really impressed through the book of Deuteronomy. My faith has been really increased. And one of the reasons why is because in Deuteronomy it starts off and they're like saying, yeah, let's go look at the land. They go look at the land and remember they're like, the fruit's big there. But they come back and they'd realize that the giant seemed bigger, you know, than the fruit. And so they come back a little bit discouraged and they said, these people are bigger and taller than us. As I kept reading the book, I get to chapter 2 and he talks about them fighting a group of people and he says, oh, those people there, they're afraid of you. God tells Israel that these people are afraid of you. And then God says, yeah, don't meddle with them. You're not getting their land. Like, the people I'd like to fight, they're afraid. They're little. And then all of a sudden you just keep reading and before you know it, God's just like, now here we go. You're entering into this land. This is your land. And them boys are big. Yes, they are bigger. Yes, they are taller than you. Like, I don't know why God would do such a thing. You know? It's like, you know how bullies are. And bullies very rarely want to go after somebody bigger than them or even the same size. You know, they tend to go smaller. And God tells Israel, I want you guys to know something. The reason I'm picking fights, like they go up to a city and they'd be like, there was walls, there was bars, there were gates. And God's like, yep, you're going to take this city. What? Why does it got to be so difficult? And God promises them and says this in Deuteronomy 11. He just says, you're going to take a land and possess something that's bigger and greater than you. See, if you bring anybody up here, I think under the age of 10, and me and him decide, or me and her, I'll fight a girl. And if, like, I would fight them on the stage, and I would be confident that I could squash them, you know? And I would hurt him, and I would make him cry so everybody could hear. But then all of a sudden, if you'd say, okay, next, Steve Fleshman, come up, and I would change my song a little bit, you know? Pastor Brian gets up, I'd be like, boy, we're in a fight now. I don't know how this is going to turn out. But our God loves the odds of the small guy, man. He always loves this. All through the Bible, you'll see it. You'll get to a situation, you're like, I don't know about this. This is impossible. And God's like, that's exactly right. Because with God, all things are possible. We know that. But that we live these logical Christian lives. We pray these logical Christian prayers. We handle everything that we can handle, and we handle things that we can definitely do on our own. And anything that enters a realm of like, I don't know about this, kind of like a Bible conference. How many Bibles are we putting together this year? 5,000, I think. Is that right? Why don't we go with 500? Because we could celebrate 2 days later and go, look what we did. You know, but it's nice having something where it's out there a little bit where you're like, this is going to take some work. You know, God loves it when the odds are at the point, like, I don't know. You know, there's a Convey of Hope, a Christian ministry, and I don't know if you like him or not. I like the guy that leads it because he's a godly man. They get him on an interview and they're like, so you're giving millions and millions of dollars to people that need it and disasters relief out there. And tell me, as a Christian organization, how do you decide when there's a hurricane over here and a tornado here? How do you decide where to put your money at? And the guy's just like, he's looking out and he says, well, we pray. We ask God, what do you want us to do? It was so refreshing. I'm like, yes, we got a godly man here. You know, what do you do? We get together with the board. We put the money together, bring the finance team, and we try to figure out which one would make the most impact for the money. You know how, best bang for the buck. You know how we do. That's business mindset. Godly men say, God, what do you want? And you know what he did? He said, in the last one we did, we had X amount of millions of dollars to put into this. There were two disasters, and we decided to go not nationwide. We decided to go worldwide with Convey Hope now. He said, we had two big disasters. We only had money for one. And we prayed, and guess what we decided? We're doing both. And he tells this great story how God showed up. And I listened to that and I was like, that's how God works. The bigness of the small. God, we don't have enough. When you're standing in front of the giants in a city larger than you, God, we don't have enough. And God says, yeah, I like those odds. You don't have enough. You cannot do it. You know, God loves that. And I get fired up of all those stories in the Bible that show this. If you'd like to go with me to Luke chapter 13, there's a couple passages I'll hit. But, guys, one of my grandmothers is an orphan. She's never met her parents. And she actually worked in a bar up until she was 40 years old. And then she met Jesus, you know. So she got saved. But my grandma, ever since I was little, I love her little necklace. I usually wear the bracelet. I bought a bracelet and it's a little mustard seed. It's a little ball of marble. I would grab that thing and look at it and say, Grandma, what is this? You know, and she'd tell me the story of a mustard seed. She says, you know what the Bible says of this? Grandma would say, Mikey, if you would just have a little faith, God could blow up the world, man. And I just loved hearing about this mustard seed. She passed away. I got me a bracelet with the mustard seed, you know. I wear it when I go to girls' events because they like it, you know. Most men look at it and like, oh my, I didn't know you wore women's jewelry. It says in Luke chapter 13, it says in verse 18, then said he unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? I don't know about you, but if I was God and somebody said, what's the kingdom of God like? What would you say? Wouldn't you bring the thunder down? That's what I would do. Oh, the kingdom of God, you know. You think lightning's powerful. You know, the kingdom of God? You want to talk the kingdom of God? 19. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast it into his garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. Okay, so Jesus, what's the kingdom of God like? And he likens it. By the way, I'm a simpleton. Liken as, when you don't understand, kingdom of God? What's the kingdom of God? Well, Mike, let me explain it. You know mustard seed? I'm like, well, I know a seed, and it's like a mustard seed. Like and as, them two words, they compare. God's still like that. It's the best teaching ever, you know. This is what's wrong with, you know, people teaching God's word today and theologians. Be a theologian like Jesus, man. Let me tell you what the kingdom of God's like. And by the way, for those of you Bible studiers, there's also a passage that'll switch it around and say, what's the kingdom of heaven like? And he'll use the mustard seed, just to let you know that. The kingdom. So notice it says the kingdom of God's like a mustard seed, and then it said cast into a garden, it grew and waxed great. Then there was birds in the branches. You know, it says the same thing in Mark chapter 4. If you want to go to Mark chapter 4, it says a few things like a little bit differently. And it says in Mark chapter 4, let's just go like to verse 31. Verse 30 says, you know, hey, what should we like in the kingdom of God? Or what comparison shall we compare it to? Verse 31. It's like the God Thor. You know, it's like the Hulk. You know, that's the kingdom of God. You know, no. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it's sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. It's called the less. But when it's sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Do you see what's happening here? If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you, let me look, 10 points. This is 10 points and no poem. You're getting 10. You know what I'm going to do? We're going to look at this passage of the mustard seed and just talk about it. Write down if God gives you something in your heart that you need to remember, you know. That's what I do. Take notes. And sometimes if you forget to take notes, that means you're listening and we're having a good time. Because I think we should have a good time in church. I didn't mean that. Let's pray. No, just kidding. That would be a good idea to pray, probably. I've had that said to me before. Hey, brother, you forgot to pray. I didn't pray. I'm praying all the time. I'm nervous as a squirrel opening up God's word. And, you know, seriously. Ask my wife. She's in bed last night, and I'm over there like, oh, man, God, what do we do? The Sunday school class, I don't know what. Who is this, how it's going to work, you know, and church. And so I get down, and I had it all on a tablet, fancy, real typed up and marked out. And I was just like, this thing just don't make sense. And so I came, you know, we redid it together, me and the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And so let's pray. Ready? Jesus, thank you for your word. God, it's powerful, man. It's changed us. Lord, we took the incorruptible seed and we become Christians. It saved us. We become new creatures because of it. Thank you. Lord, do a work this morning. I want to pray for anybody in this room, Lord, especially the broken, the one that feels so small. And I pray, Lord, by faith, you would show them through your word that this is how you do your biggest work. God, show us the bigness of small. Show us how great our God is today. Amen. Amen. Number one, kingdom living, man. Kingdom living is like a mustard seed. Just write that down. So, you know, Tony Evans kind of stole that. I like Tony Evans stuff. Do you guys? Some of his stuff, you know. I think about on almost all fronts, I'm with him, you know. But I like how he says, raising kingdom kids, you know. Having a kingdom wife, you know. All this stuff. I just like how he puts it in eternal perspective. Because we should be kingdom people. Because we got a kingdom we're living for. We're not there yet. There's a greater kingdom. The kingdom of God is within us, man. We are people of faith and hope. We believe in eternal life, right? So we're a kingdom people. When we see something, everything's fading away. If you can see it, it's temporary. We're eternal people. That would be a good spot, I would say. Amen for that, man. We are kingdom people. And kingdom living is like a mustard seed. It's like a mustard seed, man. Yeah, that little, well, yeah, that's what the Bible says. You look up kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, what's it like? It's like a mustard seed. That's hard to explain, isn't it? Because it's like you think of a massive kingdom, and the very opposite of that's going to be this little seed. And God's like, no, there's a similarity there too. And one, I think you guys know where this is heading. It's kind of like, you know, doing ministry, and Paul just says, yeah, you know, one guy planted, one guy watered. Good job. Because that's what you're supposed to do with the seed. That's what you're supposed to do. That's how it works. You plant the seed and you water. Becky decided last year to have me put a little garden in our back. Not a garden, but like a, I don't know what it was, a flower garden or something. We're not gardeners. We think we are sometimes. But I put this thing in and she planted all these seeds and it looked good. It took a lot of work and effort to get it going. And nothing, you know. I don't know what's wrong. I was like, I don't. And in my mind, guys, I'm a simpleton and I'm from the city. So you know what I thought? Well, them seeds must have been dead. You know? Then I get in the Bible and realize they got to be. They got to be. They don't die, they don't multiply. That's what the Bible says. We'll look at that verse here in a minute. So I go out there, there's nothing. And Becky goes, look out there. I look out there one day, and I'm not lying, there's something this tall. I said, what in God's name is that? And she goes, I do not know, but I did not plant that. It was a weed, man. This thing grew up like a sunflower, but there was no sunflower. Like it was big and had, I mean, it was like a tree growing in the backyard. I finally pulled it up this week. I went back there and I was like, this is ridiculous. People, you know, what are you guys growing back there? You know, I'm like, my gosh, the devil's doing that, man, because I didn't plant that thing there. It's a weed, but it was growing. Kingdom living is like a mustard seed. You know, you can plant all you want and water all you want, but guys, anybody in here that's ever planted anything, you know it's a miracle when something increases and grows. We planted seeds, something, it was weird, I don't know what happened. I'm not lying, did anything pop up? Okay, while we're here, it's going to bloom. So, but see, God, as he's showing us what the kingdom of God is like, sometimes we think, man, I got to learn the word, man. I got to go to the Bible Institute, man. That's what I got to learn the Bible. I got to stand in front of people. That's what I got to do. Like, almost like, man, I'm part of the kingdom of God, and we get this great big concept when God wants us to know something that, you know, you and me, we can plant little seeds. You can water. But God increases that thing. Kingdom living is more about what God does than what I do. I am responsible to plant. But see, he gets the credit. You know, the Bible does this too. Watch this one. Go to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Here's a whole nother story. So number one, you should got down. Kingdom living is like a mustard seed. It really is. Kingdom living. But watch Matthew 17, verse 20. Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, what's he talking about here? Well, up in front of that, they tried to cast out a demon and they couldn't. They could not cast out a demon. They said in verse 19, why couldn't we cast the demon out? What's up? Verse 20, Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith, watch this. Man, you got to have big faith. No, you have to have faith as a grain of mustard seed. And then you shall say unto that mountain, remove hence to yonder place, it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Then he tells them, howbeit this kind goeth not, but by prayer and fasting. Who would ever think? You'd think that casting a demon out, you'd need to muscle up. Muscle up. This is a demon, man. This is the devil. Let's get it, you know. My mind thinks that way. And he's like, oh, that comes by prayer and fasting. Yeah, Mike, that's something I do. That's something you can't do. He says, your faith needs to be like a mustard seed. That little mustard seed gets planted, and the Bible says this thing grows into something like a tree, man. Now, we think of mustard seeds around here. They don't get that big. Over the Middle East, that mustard seed, that'll shoot up, you know, 12, 13 feet, a good size mustard tree can become. But here, the context is they couldn't cast out a demon. Then he talks about moving mountains. So check this out. Faith is for things that are unmovable. Because if I need to move a couch this afternoon, I got a house full of girls. And you know what I'll say? Hey, I need two of you on the other end of that couch. We're about to move a couch. Because it's very movable. But when you get something in your life that's unmovable, maybe your DNA is not the best. You come from a family that's a little bit messed up. You're like, how's this going to turn? How could I ever be successful coming from a family that looks like this? Seems impossible, doesn't it? Seems bigger than you. Don't forget this. God loves those odds. That way when it's ever done, because these disciples were going to come back and just say, legion. 1,000 demons. They had nothing on us, did they? You knew what they'd have done. Did you see that? Instead, they come back and we're like, and we couldn't budge him. We've seen all these miracles, Lord, and we couldn't budge him. And God had to set him straight. Guys, kingdom living is about the smallness of you, not the greatness of you. See, when you're the small one in the story, the main character is large and big. And that would be me. That would be not me. I'm talking about God. You know what I was doing there, right? Afraid lightning's going to come down and get me. I'm not saying I'm great. I was saying God's saying he's great, right? And so this is why, you know, in Luke 17, verses 5 through 6, the disciples would cry out. And you know what they said? Let's go look. What did he say? Let's go look. Luke chapter 17. And the apostles said unto the Lord, what'd they say? Increase our faith. Man, my faith needs to be bigger, man. My faith needs to, like, go, you know? In verse 6, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, here it is again, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey. What? Increase our faith, Lord. And he's like, you need to have faith as a mustard seed, Mike. Lord, but I don't get how a seed is going to move a tree. Like a seed move a mountain? Like this ain't making any sense to me. And you study sycamore trees. And sycamore trees, they got it going on. They get well established. They're hard to bump. They're rooted deep. And the Lord says, if you have faith Anybody in here have some troubles that's deep-rooted in your life? You're like, we just had the life issues, so people are like, man, I'm clean. I've been clean for a while, but you know darn well, man, there's roots in you, you know? Like, you can think about that stuff and people you know, and it just feels so crazy, don't it? And the Lord clearly just says, I'll tell you right now, them deep-rooted issues in your life, a mustard seed faith. You believe God's word, you'll find out real quick who's bigger. You'll find out who's bigger. You'll know. So we, guys, right here at the beginning, it's going to get real practical. Now watch this. Kingdom living. Kingdom living's the mustard seed, man. Want to be a great woman of faith. Hey, you can be a great woman of faith, but it's going to be a little mustard seed faith. The faith is compared to the mustard seed. Now, guys, I'm not here to preach the story of the seed and the sower, because that's what we always think of seeds and sowing, right? The seed and the sower. You remember that story? Guy went cast the seed, right? He did the thing, and there's four different types of soil. You remember the story? Does everybody remember that story so I don't have to go there and read it, or we're going to be here till 2:30? You know? But that's a good story. That's a great story, and it explains it. But what I love is Jesus pulls the disciples. People are like, what's that story mean? And Jesus takes his followers and says, let me tell you what it means. And this is exactly what we're in Luke 17, if you want to back up to like chapter 8. He says this in Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Verses 5 through 8 is the story where he goes out, throws these seeds, and they're like, the seeds, what's this all about? We don't understand. Why are you teaching this way, Jesus? And it says in verse 11, now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. If you want to write down a third point, that's pretty simple. But the seed, many a times in Scripture, you're going to find a seed is represent. It's God's word. 1 Peter 1:23 says it's the incorruptible seed. We get saved. We have received the Bible by faith and it comes inside, right? It's the same as human birth, but this is spiritual birth. Does everybody get it? By faith, you accept the seed of the Word of God and you are born again, man. You are born again. You're brand new. The seed is the Word. But notice what he does. He explains then what's the soil. He talks about what the soil is, and the soil is what? Anybody out loud? It's us. It's the hearts of people, man. It's people. The soil's been. So you're taking the Word and casting it, planting it, putting it into the lives of people. So that'd be point number four, that yet the seed goes into soil, and the soil is definitely the lives of people. It says about this mustard seed, when you read the three gospels say, it was sowed in the field, it was sowed in the earth, it was cast in the garden. Sowed, sown, and cast. All like planting words, right? Seed goes into soil. Isn't that good? Everybody knows that. The seed of God's word, and here in Luke chapter 8, he says in verse 11, you know, the seed's the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Cometh the devil, he wants to take the word out of their hearts. So the seed gets put out, and the soils are different types of people. Guys, this is a beautiful point right here, and this might be the point of the day. Don't miss this one. The seed goes into soil. The seed of God's word into the hearts of people can make somebody a new creature. But let me even get more practical than this, because kingdom living is the mustard seed. Living by faith, like it's compared to like mustard seed faith, like just small. The bottom line is this. Let me say it this way. Seeds go into dirt. So practically it would be this. What's the dirt in your life? You pervert. It's always a lady that laughs at that. And those guys are like, hey, he's talking to me. You got perversion in your life? I'm not asking you to raise your hand because I know it's there. You know it belongs there? Put God's word there. And some of you got dirty ways of thinking. You got bad habits in your life. You got all these hurts and hang-ups. That's the dirt. We come to church and everyone wants to look really nice and dressed up. And we come in there, we looking clean. You're fooling nobody. I had a couple people today say, man, you're looking good today, man. Because I got a little sport jacket on, you know. Like, you're looking good today. I'm glad I fooled some of you. It's not all good. That's why this boy gets up all the time, consistently, constantly, and I'm dropping seeds of that book into this dirt. I'm constantly putting it deep. Ugh, put it in there. That's the key to victory. It's the key. Seed goes into soil. What's the dirty spots in your life? What's the bad habits in your world? What's the weird thoughts in your marriage? That's exactly where the seed goes. We are people of faith. You want to be a kingdom guy? You're like, man, we don't know what to do with our kid. Man, our kid's driving us crazy. We don't know what to do here. What do you mean you don't know what to do? Plant seeds there. Put seeds there. Man, this is a dirty situation. I don't know how to handle this. And you know what? By faith, what we do. You got dirt. Put a seed there, cover it up. And then you're, by faith, people water. But you're just waiting and waiting. And I don't know about, we planted these seeds in these egg cartons to try to get them to grow so then we could go outside and plant them, you know. And it was like every day, everybody would go over there. I mean, the seeds got planted last night. We wake up in the morning, walk by the counter, and I'm like, there ain't nothing in there. You know? Well, it was in dirt. We put them in a dirty place. It was dark and hidden and cold. But we put the seeds there. And, you know, the day came. It took a couple weeks. And we come by and all of a sudden there was just a couple little sprouts of green. I'm like, it's a miracle. I know you're a pervert. I know it. You keep dropping seeds in that soil, man. You keep watering that. You keep doing everything the Bible says you know to do, and you're going to find out something. You're just like, and some of you would say, and I love, that's why I love Friday night. There were people just saying, man, I never thought I could be clean. Until we put the seed of God's word in that dirt, and up pops something great. And the Bible says, and by faith, and that mustard seed faith can move mountains, take things unmovable. You'd think, what do you want? If you were going to build a tree house, do you want to build it in the mustard seed tree? You know, the mustard tree? Or would you like to build it in a sycamore tree? I would choose the sycamore all day long. And the Bible tells me you might want to rethink that. You might want to rethink that. The applied word of God. Ministry's dirty, isn't it? If you ain't getting your hands dirty, you're not in ministry. Because ministry is taking the seed and putting it in dirt. It's that simple. How'd you get so dirty? Doing the ministry. That's why. Why's your fingernails always got dirt under? Because I'm shoving seeds in soil is what I'm doing. All the time. That's exactly what we're supposed to do. Man, the seed's the word, and that seed goes into soil. We need to put it into the lives of people. Now listen, seeds are meant to be planted. Guys, I want you to know this morning, I'm giving the word of God out. We're going to get them, you know, you probably had a quiet time this morning. We all got the Bible. But you know what the seeds are meant to? You read the stories, and it says, yeah, in the kingdom of God, what's it in comparison to? Well, it's like a mustard seed, and it says, which is sown. Seeds are meant to be sown. Seeds are meant to be planted. The Bible that you're getting today, it's meant to be dropped into the dirt of your heart. The seeds you're getting today, they're meant for you to take and go elsewhere and plant them whenever you see dirty spots. That's what we always, you know, people look over and see something like, I can't believe it, you know. They look at these people and say, look at those people, what they're doing, or that place of business, and why are these people doing this? Then people are flipping out, you know. Then people, you know, oh, look at all those. Man, I never thought I'd see the day when people would do that, you know. We talk this way, and look at that. Lady. Them two guys are holding hands. What in God's... But that girl's changing her gender. What's wrong with people? You know what I see? More dirt to put seeds in. It's just more, God's given us opportunity. There's more dirt there. Let's drop some seeds in that place. That's what we do. And that's one thing. A presidential candidate's not going to do that, gang. The Church of the Living God, we do it. We make the difference. We put the seeds in the dirt, man. That's what we do. How'd your life change? It was the seeds. It was the seeds in the soil, man. Yeah, somebody planted and people been watering on me, and look what happened. Like, man of God. Bam! You know, like, how did that happen? It's a miracle, man. It's a miracle, man. You know how it is. Even somebody getting pregnant, you know, watching my wife and the belly coming out. And I, you know, you don't understand the guy. Then it kicks. And then one day when it comes out, it's truly, you're like, it's a miracle. This is an absolute miracle that a little seed did this. One tadpole created this thing. And that tadpole was so little, you'd have to have a microscope to see it. No joke. Hey, not seeds are meant to be planted. You know, seeds are meant to grow. That would be like the sixth thing you should write down on your paper. Because that's what it says here. You're going to get the seed. You take the seed, and what's it need? It needs to be sown, and then it needs to grow. Seeds. That's why if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian here for a while, you're not growing, people are concerned. Something's wrong. So you should grow. Seeds grow. That's why it keeps saying in these passages with the mustard, when it is grown, bam, when it is grown. Hey, desire this and sow milk of the word so that you may grow thereby. Seeds are meant to grow. In some of you, there's no growth, and let me tell you why. You're not planting seeds. Plant seeds every day. I get in a word every day, man. I open up in the morning. I don't do it to study or to preach. I get it and say, Jesus, speak to me. Drop seeds in this old dirty soil. I'm fixing to kill somebody today. Plant them seeds in there. The key to camp, all you campers that went to camp and come back, you know what the key is? Every day, put seeds in the dirt. Your dirty thoughts, your dirty ways, what culture share, you know, that put the seeds there. That's where you put the seeds. No shame in that. We all got the dirty spots. Plant the seeds. And sometimes, and I got news for you. You look at a guy like Brian, and you just look at him and just say, I should probably use Bo. You know, his name's Bo, B-E-A-U. We call him beautiful, you know. Bo, I work with a beautiful man. Bo, you know. But people look at him, and guys, you just see all this plush, beautiful, blossoming growth. We had two baptisms 2 weeks ago, and both of them were a direct influence from his life. I'm just watching. I was just like, man, why is he so pretty? Why is he so attractive, man? Why is Brian so attractive? No, I'm really, you know what I mean by that. Well, let me tell you why. If you talk to him, he would tell you all the seeds that had been planted that pushed up through the dirt in his life. And you see a beautiful blossom, but it all started with the seed planted in the dirt. And some of you people in here, I look at you and you're beautiful. Some of you walk in and you're raw and we see dirt. Plant seeds, my friend. Keep planting seeds of the word. It's big. It's huge. Don't doubt it. That's what kingdom living is. What's kingdom living? Like the mustard seed. That little bitty seed, yeah, put them in dirt. And guess what? It's expected to grow, and it will grow. Things grow big. Some things grow smaller. Some things grow fast. Some things grow slow. But by the way, I'm going to just give you this verse because we've got to move. John chapter 12 is where it says, if a corn of wheat dies, it multiplies. Dead seed goes in a ground, and when it's buried, it miraculously produces life. Because guess what? Our God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of the Bible, is the life giver. We don't give life. We plant seeds. We water and say, God, do your thing. And by faith, we're praying, God, do your things. Change this girl. She's been coming on Friday nights for a while for nothing. We're seeing nothing, God. But we keep planting seeds there. God, please, may she open up and put the dirt. Put that seed in that dirt there. God, please. A couple weeks go by and somebody goes, did you hear what she said tonight? Somebody's like, yeah, that was surprising, wasn't it? You just see a little hint of green coming up through dirt. Then a couple weeks later, you're like, there's an inch sticking up there. And I'm telling you, the day's going to come. And I got to witness it Friday night. You missed it if you weren't here. Maybe you weren't invited. I don't know. But I got to witness people would just come up right up here and stand. And you know what they were doing? They were standing up here with this beautiful, budding, fruitful piece of, like, just beautiful work. And some of them were young, you just seen. But a lot of them were just up here. And you were like, my gosh, how did that happen? What do you mean, how did it happen? It's pretty simple, actually. By faith. That guy had faith, accepted God's word and the seed of God's word, and he put it deep inside. And everybody started watering. We're like, God, please, man, help this thing to grow. People are praying for her, praying for him. And all of a sudden, they get to stand up in front of everybody, and they're like this blossoming, like, we're taking them to the county fair, man. That's a blue ribbon right there. That's a blue ribbon. That's a work of God. God did that. It's miraculous, isn't it? It's simply miraculous. I love it, man. I love it. But remember, it's the dead seed. It's got to be buried. Buried to bring life. Put it deep down. Hey, don't read your quiet time. You know the only problem with the daily bread is? You can read it in a minute and a half. That's the only problem with it. Guys, if you read the daily bread, there's nothing wrong with that. But the Bible says you better meditate upon that. Put that a little deeper, man. Don't just cross it off and say, did my church reading this morning? No, you didn't. It's more than reading, isn't it? Hey, by the way, we've already read it, so I probably don't need to read it again. But it's not only seeds are meant to be planted, but seeds are meant to grow. Then seeds are meant to grow into what? Greatness. He says great. That's what he says, and this tree's going to be great. The least of seeds, and it becomes like this great tree. It's unbelievable, isn't it? It is unbelievable. Seeds are supposed to grow into greatness. I love reading the book of Genesis, and then all of a sudden God comes to Abraham, and he's like, hey, old man. Abraham says, you talking to me? He's like, yeah, you're old. I'm going to give you guys a child, man. I'm going to give you a seed. Guys, ain't that silly? And God says, I'm going to make your name great, and I'm going to make you a great nation. We're old. We're old. Guys, it was such a weird story that Sarah just thought it was a comedy. She laughed. No way. Oh, don't underestimate God's seed. He'll take something small and what's he do with it? The miraculous. That's what the mustard seed represents for you and me, the bigness of small. It's miraculous. If you want to write something down, write down this. The mustard seed is least small, and it's called less in the Bible. You feel insecure, like you don't have nothing to offer? Guess what? You're a candidate for greatness, man. Because God can blow up on something like that. That's why God says, God will spend half his time. He says, if you want to lift yourself up, he's going to spend his time bringing you down. But if you'll come as the small man you are, say, God, this is all I got. And God says, watch what I got. Bam! That's what happens. I don't know a lot about sperm, but I do know at one time of intimacy, there can be 40 million up to 1 billion all at once. In just one in a billion, things are perfect, the moon's sitting right, everything, the egg's open and ready, one. That's why even conception is like, that's a miracle. That God could do, and yet we all, the standard is like, man, you started off as like a microscopic tadpole. And the chances of even my wife getting pregnant, it's miraculous. Could you even say it's maybe like one in a billion? If you look at the science behind it, and I just think, my gosh, Lord, the small. What you can do is incredible. Because in my mind, I would think some on a larger scale, like, you know. No. All through the Bible. Anybody ever read Proverbs chapter 30? He's like, let me give you an example of some things. And he starts telling you about these great, like, spiritual principles. Let me talk to you about the ant. They're not very strong, but, you know, and he starts working these stories. What about a coney, them feeble little folks, and they build their houses in rocks? He starts talking about, you know, these rabbit-looking things, you know, rabbits. What are rabbits good for? They're rabbits. They're good for being eaten is what they're good for. They're not doing anything else. He mentions the locust. Oh, by the way, spiders. You know what the Bible says? You know what he loves about spiders? They're in the king's palace. What? Yeah, me and you can't get in. Hey, you ever been into the Oval Office? Not very many people in this room can say they have. But I ain't asking you. Anybody ever been to the Oval Office? A few people, but not many. But guess what? I bet there's a few spiders in there right now. Right now. And I'm not calling our president a spider. I wouldn't do that. But the bottom line is it's the little. And that's why the Bible does this. Don't you love stories of like Abraham and Sarah, the greatest nation in the world created by two people that can't have kids? The impossible. Israel, every land they conquered, they go in, they're bigger, they're stronger than us. God says, I love those odds. But the bigness of the small. God, I don't think we're big enough to get them. And God says, no. You've seen all the movies. That's what we love about the movies. Me and my daughter's doing the Marvel series right now because she's can't do nothing but watch TV. She's crippled up, you know. And so we're watching them, and right now we're currently on Ant-Man. I had to cut it short the other day. But you know the story of Ant-Man? The same thing. You know, it's crazy watching this thing. It's just like, you know, he's only great when he's little. When he's big, he's a loser. But he does got a guide. The guide is always pointing him in the right direction, right? And but you watch all these superheroes. It's the same thing. It's the, oh, man. It's the widow's mite in the Bible. Like one lady walks in, you know, and she's like, pink. You know, she's dropping pennies. And God's multiplying. God says she's given. This is the greatest right here. Other people dumping bags of money in, and God's like, I'm not impressed with that. She's given everything she has, and somebody would say, man, that's not enough. What about this? Hey, 5,000 people's hungry. How are we going to feed 5,000 people? One mama made a sack lunch for her son. And that little sack lunch in the hands of our Savior fed 5,000 people. The bigness of small to bring what you have to the table. And guys, I just don't feel like I'm a great godly man. And God's like, man, God, I just feel like I can't bench 350 pounds. And God's, you know what God's doing? Going, I never asked you to. What are you doing? That's ridiculous. I want you to be a kingdom man. And it's like a mustard seed. I want you to be a man of faith. That you know when you plant this tiny seed, that it's going to go inside of dirt. And he's going to produce life out of something that was dead. That is a supernatural spiritual work of God, and he wants to do it in you today. And I'm even talking to Christians, because some of you are like, man, am I ever going to get victory on this? Man, my anxiety's got me whipped, man. You know, I can definitely say, I don't think I'm mentally ill, but I know I'm not mentally healthy. What do you do when you just ain't mentally, like, quite healthy? You know what you do? You plant seeds in that dirt. That's what you do. And it becomes seeds of faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, right? So we put the seed of the Bible inside of us. Put it in there, it's dirty. Sometimes you don't even see anything. And what happens? Oh, what the Lord can do. Hey, oh, what the Lord has done. Isn't it unbelievable? Wow. I like the prison break that takes place in Acts chapter 6. How do you break out of prison? I got a lot of ways to break out of prison. Well, I'm watching the Marvel movies. Call the Avengers. That's what I say, you know. But what do you do? How do you break out of prison? Do you need plastic explosives? Do you need somebody that's good at, you know, hacking into the system and opening the gates? Do you need to know a delivery guy? Do you become friends with the guards? You know what the apostle said? It's simple. You just need a song. Who would ever think that a song could break prison walls? The bigness of the small, gang. That's the key this morning. It's the bigness of the small. Don't make this something it ain't. How am I ever going to get through? We're all stressing all over this thing. You know, you know what's crazy to me? The most dangerous, I don't know about you, lions, grizzly bears. I don't like crocodiles, you know, like, what's going to eat you? You know, is there going to be a parasite in the Amazon that's going to crawl through an orifice in your body and kill you? I don't know. That could happen. You know, but what are you afraid of? You afraid of piranhas? You know, what's the most, I don't know about you, but one that we can hardly see, you can hardly ever really feel it, the mosquito. It's so little, it kills more people than anything. Like, look at it. Look at all the diseases and the malaria, that dengue fever, that Zika virus, you know, all this, West Nile virus, yellow fever, all the stuff that missionaries talk about. You're like, well, what's the deal with that? It's a little mosquito. Killing many a people. Hey, don't ever underestimate the book, man. God's holy word. Just that verse, what it can do in your life. It can bring life to your neighbor. That's why we share the gospel. We got to guide and point people that direction, right? We take God. Don't ever underestimate it. The bigness of the small. Don't overthink this. The 12 dispensations can come later. Get the verse down. Plant it in deep and say, God, you've got to grow something here. See, seeds go in dirt. Then they grow. And the passage says they become trees. Is it any wonder why John says, you know, he must increase. But how's that going to be done? Only if I become smaller. The Apostle Paul, you know, was named Saul. Saul was one chosen. That's what the name Saul means, chosen one. So everybody likes Saul. Everybody wants to be Saul. He's like the hero, the king, head and shoulders, that type of guy, right? And all of a sudden you're in the book of Acts and you're reading and you'll almost miss it. Because it'll say, and Saul, which is also called Paul. And then you look, Paul, who did that? It's like somebody saying, hey, Mike. And then you, hey, Mick. My name's Mike, not Mick. You know, people would pick up on that. And Saul, who is also called Paul, you're like, what happened there? I'll tell you what happened there. The one chosen knew that if God was going to increase in his life, he was going to have to decrease. He said, we have to have a name change here, folks. Call me Paul. Because Paul don't mean one chosen. Paul's name simply means small. Little. Just little. Getting too big for our britches. And this is why we find ourselves in Revelation chapter 3. Who is knocking? Here we are trying to have a church service this morning. Do you keep hearing a knocking? And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 3, it's Jesus outside the church saying, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Would the church open up? Why isn't Jesus in church? Because they got too big. They just got too big. He's the hero of the story. He's the one that's supposed to get the glory. Not the singer, not the speaker. It wasn't about that. He wants to increase, and that'll come with you and me decreasing. I'm going to show you something pretty powerful here. I shared this with some of you counselors at camp, because this is one thing that God really showed me here in the near future. Do you guys know how we talked about this mustard seed? And by the way, this is fantastic. I'm not lying, and this is something fresh and new. I've never seen this before. You plant a seed, the mustard seed gets planted. It goes into soil, into dirt. Put it in dirty places. God's word, beautiful picture. And then it grows. It's expected to grow. You should have some growth. But then it says it grows into something great. Compared to this little seed, it grows into greatness, right? It becomes like a tree. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't know exactly how big it is. I've just read things on this tree. I've seen pictures of a Middle East mustard tree. And it's, you know, standing, you know, pretty good height. You know, like, I didn't see many that were over, I would say 15 feet tall would be miraculous if it was that big. But that's pretty big compared to what it started off with, right? I mean, you can grow a little bit of thing, you know, or there's a cucumber laying on the ground. Oh, that's kind of cool, isn't it? But then you got a tree that you can climb into? But the Bible says this in Luke 13. It says, this mustard seed grew to the point where fowls were lodging in its branches. Fowls, like birds, were treating it like the Motel 8. They were hanging out in there. Or Mark 4 says it this way, and birds find shadows in its branches. I've never understood this. I've always struggled with this. Because if you study God's word, and you start, you know, especially ground-dwelling birds, you'll find pictures of the Holy Ghost being like a dove. But I'm telling you, the majority of the time you find birds, they're pecking people's eyes out, man. Like, there's something wicked about it, right? Do you guys remember in Luke chapter 8, the seed and the sower? It says, and it was sown on different kinds of ground. It says it was sown into the hearts of people, and the fowls of the air came along and plucked the seed out. Do you guys remember that? That's dirty. What's that mean? Well, if you're... Yes, maybe you better see this. Go over to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 and verse 5. A sower went out to sow, right? He sowed. Some fell by the wayside and it was trodden down and the fowls of the air devoured it. See that? No, not yet. Sorry. I hear pages still. Fowls of the air devoured it. So the seed wasn't quite planted in the dirt or something, man. These fowls came and got it. Well, Jesus explains what it is. And look over at verse 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is the word of God, and those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh who? The devil, and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. He clearly makes it clear to us, these fowls picture the devil. There's a seed here, and the birds want, you know how everybody's planted grass seed in here. If you don't do something crazy with it, spray a chemical on it, or some people throw straw on it, you're trying to keep the birds from coming and eating the seed, ain't you? That's what we all do, that type of thing. I just want you to know that these fowls picture the devil. Ephesians 2 talks about him being the prince of the power of the air. When Abraham's doing a covenant, do you remember Abraham's covenant in Genesis 15? It says, and the vultures came down. He was shooing them away like, what's going on here? Yeah, a picture like a Revelation 18, the dirty birds. Babylon has fallen, right? And it says that. There's all these vultures and birds and the dirty birds, man. They're there. They picture the devil, man. They picture like demonic forces. Is everybody with me on that point? So all of a sudden, I want to be a kingdom man. Like, oh, it's like a mustard seed. Small, you know. My faith, I want to be a man of faith, you know, okay, man of faith, and have faith as a mustard seed, small. Okay, planted in the dirt of my life, God miraculously takes something that was dead, brings life to it, and now I've gone from being a seed that's really, really small, and now I'm a tree. And I'm like, this is such a great story of being a kingdom man, being a man of the kingdom. I'm a man of faith. You're a woman of faith, a woman of the kingdom. You're like, praise the Lord. Then the story is like, yeah, and then you can have some fowls in your branches. What? This is weird to me. What's going on there? Got birds in the branches. Yeah, but the Bible almost speaks of it. It just has a little bit of a positive spin on it. Guys, let me share a great principle with you in closing today. We got to be kingdom people. I got to be a man of faith. You got to be a woman of faith, man. Simply believe God's word and put it in the dirty places and watch what it does. Watch the change it'll bring. And then you'll grow. And you'll grow and have birds in your branches. They'll find some sort of shadow under your branches. When I read the story of the seed and the sower, when the seed's planted, a bird comes and tries to devour it. If the seed grows and becomes a tree, a bird can't devour a tree. So if this is the picture of the enemy and the devil, and you're sitting back, I'm like, I've been in the ministry a while, and I'm 54 years old. And guys, I got birds in the branches, man. I hear them all the time. Or you come, and just to be real honest with you, there's crap everywhere. I remember I shot a bottle rocket. There's all these ravens up in this tree. I'm talking hundreds of them. I grabbed this bottle rocket and I lit it. And I waited to the very, very last second. And that thing went. And it shot up. And it went up in that tree. And boom! And I'm telling you what. I was excited because it rained down a bunch of black bird feathers. Like, and they lost the feathers. But you know what else it did? It scared the crap out of all of them. Because there was birds in those branches. If you got birds in the branches this morning, I just want you to know something. You know what it's proof of? My friend, you're a kingdom man. You're a woman of faith. And guess what? The enemy cannot devour you. It's going to try to devour fruit that you'll produce. It can't devour you no more. You've matured. You always wonder, will the day come when there will be no birds in the branches, God? Nope, that's where birds dwell. The enemy parches himself there. Sometimes I was like, God, can I not catch a break? And God's like, well, dude, we could go back in history. Well, there was a bunch of people praying because the devil was devouring that seed in your life. As quick as they could plant it, man, the devil was coming along and taking that seed out. And now here you are, a mature tree. You're mature. And there's birds in your branches. Now it's going after fruit. It's going to try to do some damage. But what do? I praise the Lord for the mustard seed. The bigness of the small. God's word is so powerful. So I guess that last point, I really wanted to say it to you ministers in this room. I just wanted to say it to the men and women that you've grown a little further in life. And it drives you nutty, don't you? And guys, I got news for you. We're human beings. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Do we not got the devil's attention? If planting seeds of the gospel, if planting seeds of the Bible into dirt makes things grow, and we're a church everywhere we go, everywhere we work, all over our city, we'll knock on doors if we have to. We'll print Bibles if we must. We'll do whatever it takes, but our job is we're getting the seed to dirty places, man. Because we need to see death come back to life. That's what we're going to do. And I got news for you. You have a place like this, there's always going to be birds in the branches. You know what I just say? The Bible says this. You got all these birds in the branches, but the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Our tree is greater than the fowls. Look at us now, man. When anybody asks us about it, what do we say? Man, somebody planted, somebody watered, but this is an increase of God. And I just want you to know, HBF, you're an increase of God, man. The bigness of the small. I drove by a building the other day in downtown there, and it used to be the old Christian school. And I was like, I preached in that building when this church started. His church started that 6 months it was in existence. I got to speak in that building right there. Then you walk up here and you're like, man, look what God has done. The greatness of small, man. And how big is our God? He's great, man. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. God, you're great this morning. God, you've taken your word and that mustard seed has blossomed. And God, we got some troubles. There's birds in the branches. But God, we want to thank you that we've not been devoured. That this thing has grown. We want to be kingdom people. God, we want to trust you for bigger things. Lord, I want to pray for the old woman and the old man in the room that think it's over. I pray that they see the greatness of the small. I pray that they would become men and women of faith. And maybe even once again. I pray for our young people in here, Lord. I know we want to be strong and do big things. But Lord, you're the God of the big. You're the God that does that work. We simply this morning just say, by faith, we believe your word. We believe it, God. And we're going to plant it in the dirty spots of our life and watch incredible growth take place. Lord, thank you. Increase our faith this morning. May we never forget the mustard seed. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.
It's about a nice close. If we continue in an attitude of prayer, what a great message we've heard this morning. And I just want to take this time just to make sure that everybody here has had an opportunity to receive the seed of the gospel. The seed of the gospel is that, you know, one of the things that died was the God himself. He became a man. He died on the cross for our sins and he rose again on the third day and he's alive. The reason that we have life is because he is life. Everything that you've heard this morning is true. And if this morning you're here and you're like, man, I need to be brought to life. In the Bible, there's a word called quicken. It's like when you cut your finger in the quick and it's ouch. You hit the live flesh. God wants to bring you to life. He wants to quicken you through the power of this little message that is so powerful. that 2,000 years ago a man came to this planet, and he didn't just land in an airplane. He didn't come down out of a spaceship. He came through the seed of a woman, God's seed inside of a woman, and he became all God and all man, lived a sinless life, perfect life, never sinned, and yet he died for the sin of the whole world. He died for my sin and your sin. And that could have been where it ended, but because he is God, he rose again on the third day. And he conquered sin and death. And that's why the only way to have eternal life is to place your faith, just a mustard seed of faith, in what he's already done, in his finished work on the cross. And maybe it's just this moment right now where that's really come to your understanding of what it's all about. That's what it's all about. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's where it's at. You have to receive this message in your heart and call upon the name of the Lord, and he will save you. He will literally bring you to life spiritually and eventually physically, and it will be great. But it starts with just a seed. If you're here this morning, you need to be born again. You need to be saved. You need to have this assurance of what we call salvation, and you know that you don't have it. We can help you with that. We can open the Bible, which is the seed of God's word, and help you get that in your heart so he can bring you to life. If you would like to make that decision today, just raise your hand where you are right now. Last week we had like 3 people receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. That's tremendous. Anyone else today want to follow in that? Anyone at all? Give you a moment. It's going to pass. You may be trying to wait me out. But if you're convicted about that, you need to do something today, and you can just simply start by raising your hand. Amen. I don't see anybody raising hands. Let's stand in an attitude of prayer. As we continue and we pray, we close, we thank you for the word that we've heard today, Lord, and I thank you for the different phases that we're in with the seed. And Lord, as Pastor Mike preached, Lord, I need to go to the altar because we're trusting you for a lot around here. And Lord, there's without you, it's impossible. Without faith, Lord, it's impossible to please you. And as we started off this year talking about Jeremiah and how important it is to, you know, he said with you nothing's impossible, but then he turned around and did something that Jeremiah thought was impossible, and God had to remind him, hey, with me nothing's impossible. And Lord, that's oftentimes where we're at. Lord, we're trusting you for all kinds of things, resources, abilities to accomplish your mission, your power, to fill up our Bible Institute, to fill up our discipleship roles, to see people come to faith in Christ. And Lord, we don't have the power to do any of it. It is simply by faith. And Lord, there are marriages in this room that need to be held together, and they need to be held together by faith in the power of your word. Lord, there are children that are going the wrong way that need to return home to you, Lord, and that happens by faith. And so, Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we cast all our care on you, knowing that you care for us. And Lord, we do know that when the word gets in those dirty places, you do bring forth fruit. And I pray, God, that every seed that's been sown today would fall into good soil, Lord, and that there would be more water put upon that seed. And Lord, we'd be careful to bring it to the light. Lord, I pray, God, that nobody here would believe the fowls and run to darkness, Lord, but they would stay in the light. That's where the leaves grow. And Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you would use all the things of the past, as I've said to others in counseling, Lord, may the dung of our past fertilize the future, Lord. I pray, God, that you would use all of the things that you would think would hinder us. Lord, use that because if you were overturn that in your power and show your mighty love and grace. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for your saints. I pray for decisions this morning. As we stand here, I'm about to conclude, but each week I mention, you know, there's decisions that need to be made, decisions to join the church, decisions to get baptized. We're having baptisms next week. Decisions to, some of you need to step out and say, you know what, I'm going all in. I'm going to take advantage of this church's structure, the lattice that we provide, and I'm going to allow God to grow me because I know I'm called, but I'm afraid to talk about it. I'm afraid to go public. Well, at least go private with God and make that decision. And get a hold of one of us, one of your pastors, your ABF pastor, myself, and we will get you on a missionary pathway so you can grow forward because we need as many people as possible to accomplish God's mission. As Pastor Mike was preaching, I mean, right off the bat, I'm listing off things that I'm like, Lord, it's impossible to produce enough Bibles and raise enough money for Sierra Leone next year. This is stuff you don't even know about yet. And it's impossible to take over and do some of the church planning work that we need to do in this church. It's impossible to, I gotta find someone to cover my ABF. I mean, I got needs all over the place around here. What do we need? We need faith. We need faith. But with God, nothing's impossible. Amen? Amen. So what is God calling each of us to believe Him for? And not, it's not like some charismatic thing. I mean, rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Some of us need to believe God for the faithfulness to wake up every day and read the Bible and meditate on it. Don't get all sexy with it. Do the basics. Blocking and tackling. And that's how you're going to see over time that consistency. It'll get you growing to a full tree. Heavenly Father, I could go on. I thank you for stirring up our pure minds today through Mike, your minister. And thank you for bringing Mike and Becky here today to encourage us in the Lord as a church. We need this because we're getting ready to continue on, Lord, to see people's lives change through life issues, see people's get Bibles delivered to places and get into the hearts of the soil of men's hearts all over the world through the Bible publishing. And then behind that, Lord, we'll reach out again to our own community through the Harvest Party and a Christmas Eve service this fall. And Lord, there's a lot in between. They're making disciples and teaching the Word of God. And so, Father, I pray, God, that we know we're going somewhere, and ultimately that somewhere is heaven. And in the meantime, Lord, I pray, God, you would just encourage us and continue to breathe life into us, inspire us as you've done this morning. And we just want to thank you for Mike and Becky being able to be here with us this morning. We pray your best blessing on them. Thank you for your church. I pray a blessing upon them this morning. And, Lord, I pray you'd meet every need and every man and woman right where they're at. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.